Let's pray. As we dive into your word this morning, God, we pray that your Spirit will enlighten our hearts and illumine our minds. Teach us things you want us to know and show us things you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. Probably one of the most famous first lines of a novel, and if you don't recognize it, I'll give you a hint. It's Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. The Tale of Two Cities. If you can't remember back to senior English in high school, I'll remind you that it took place in two cities, London and Paris, before and during the French Revolution. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was a tale of two cities. Place is important. Where we are when something happens is important. It can mean a lot. You ever have one of those dreams where you're just quietly taking a shower, then all of a sudden your shower turns out to be the mall? You ever have one of those? It's like, ah, why am I here? Or, you know, things like shouting and screaming at the top of your lungs is appropriate if you're in the stadium when Croatia is defeating Russia in the quarterfinals yesterday. But if you were in the public library listening to it on your headphones, you probably shouldn't scream out and be excited. Place is important. The text we read today from 2 Samuel is a lot about place. Many of you know the story of David and how he came to power. You remember the story that he defeated Goliath with his slingshot. You remember that right before that, Samuel had come to his village because God had said, you will find Israel's next king among the people of Bethlehem and the sons of Jesse. And he goes through the whole list of sons, starting with the biggest and the strongest and the most handsome. And then they get to the end, and Samuel says, are there no more? And they say, well, yeah, there's the little shepherd boy, but he's the runt. He's out in the field with the sheep. Go get him. And Samuel said, David, you will be anointed king. And the Holy Spirit came upon David. Then David killed Goliath. David was the musician who played the tune that helped quell the evil spirit that was attacking Saul. And then David became a mighty warrior, defeating Israel's enemies. And then David became an outlaw, running for his life. David found refuge in the city of Hebron. Then eventually what Samuel had prophesied came to pass. Saul was killed in battle. And it was in that city of Hebron, the place that he had sought refuge, where the people loved David, that David became king. We think of David being king in Jerusalem, but this passage reminds us that he first became king in Hebron. Hebron's still a city today. It's on the West Bank. You'll hear about it in the news. This was the city that David first became king and ruled there for 7 years. Because David refused to kill Saul's son, See, the elders in Gibeah, where Saul had ruled from, still believed that it should be Saul and his children who should be the dynasty, the king. So David stayed in Hebron. But then Saul's last remaining son was killed. So the elders left Gibeah, traveled south to Hebron, and asked David to be their king as well. And David said, "I will. I will be your king, but I'm not going to Gibeah. Instead, we're going to make Jerusalem the center. Because place is important. The place of Saul was Saul's place. Hebron's place was my place of refuge when I was an outlaw. Jerusalem is in the middle. It will be our place. It will be the city of David. It will be place for a new beginning, something completely different. Place matters." When Jesus, in our gospel passage, when Jesus came home, place mattered. You see, when he was in Capernaum and over by the lake, he was doing miracles. People were being healed. They were going crazy about this prophet who was teaching these wonderful teachings. Such great wisdom was coming from this man. Capernaum received him. Other villages in Galilee received him. But then when he came home, they looked at him and said, "Oh, these are wonderful teachings. This is good. But wasn't he Joseph's son? Wasn't he that gangly kid that we knew when he was little? Wasn't he the one who would run around with his friends and get in our way when we're trying to work? Wasn't he that, you know, just regular kid? Who does he think he is coming here to talk to us?" I love how Mark says this in his passage. He says he wasn't able to do miracles there, except a few healings. I'm thinking, you know, if I'm the guy that's getting healed, I don't care what you call it. That's a pretty good miracle right there. But the impression that Mark felt was that because of the place, because of Nazareth, Jesus wasn't allowed to be fully who he was. Whether the place made Jesus hold back, maybe he was not completely sure how to be himself around those people who knew him when he was this high. Because don't forget, he was fully human. He had those same emotions you and I have when we walk into somewhere and someone says, "Oh, I knew you when you were little. I remember when you used to make all this trouble for us." They weren't talking about me. Not me. Somebody else. Place is important. Because for whatever reason, in that place, Jesus couldn't be fully Jesus. I think that's fascinating. But I think each of us understand that in some kind of level. Whether it's us going back home, visiting places where they knew us when we were little, or whether it's we're uncomfortable in work going to a new place that we've never been before. Sometimes there are things that prevent us from being us, being fully us, and appreciating who we are. I think we all understand to a degree what it means to not feel comfortable in our own skin because of a place. I think these passages made me realize that sometimes place can make us feel less confident, less who we are, less willing to embrace who we are. Because sometimes we like to put on a front. Sometimes we like to make sure that people think of us in one way in this place. We don't want them to know the true us because they might not like us. They might not appreciate us. They might not pay us the salary that they pay us if they really knew who we were. Sometimes we like to give an impression on social media of what our wonderful life is like and that there's this wonderful net and there's no bad things. There's no things that are uncomfortable. But I think I take from these two passages, these two really diverse passages that remind us that people are different in different places for different reasons, that's human nature. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to know and me to know that wherever we are, whatever place we're in, God is with us. We are never alone. We are never alone. And because of that, we need to fully embrace who we are. Not just the who we want people to know, but the who that we sometimes tried to keep hidden. Because think about it, God's grace is sufficient for all of us. God says, I don't care what place you're in. I'm with you. I made you. You are mine. So today's biblical passages may be the tale of two cities. They may be the tale of our lives. But the takeaway, the conclusion, the thing I want you to hear from these stories is no matter where you are, God is with you. And because of that, you need to have the courage to embrace who you are as a child of God. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.